Today I want to speak to you about faith, love, and hope. Let's go to the first epistle of the Thessalonians. And we're going to read from chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. I'm going to read from the New International Version. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Immediately after greeting the church with grace and peace, Paul writes these three unique qualities that he found in the church of the Thessalonians: faith, love, and hope. And while writing to them, Paul said, "Church, we not only pray for you," and while writing this letter to the Thessalonians, Timothy and Silas were also with Paul, and that's the reason he's saying "we." He said, we not only pray for you often, but every time we pray, we remember, we think about your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance or patience inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, this verse doesn't tell us what kind of work their faith produced or what kind of labor that Paul saw in them because of their love, and what kind of endurance or patience was found in this church as regards to the hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe these three qualities of the church in Thessalonica must have been very important, otherwise Holy Spirit wouldn't have inspired Paul to write them in the scriptures. As we read along, the rest of the passage reveals that when the gospel reached for the city of Thessalonica, it came with suffering or persecution. In other words, receiving the gospel wasn't that easy for the believers in this city. As soon as the gospel was preached to them, and as soon as they responded or believed, they were persecuted by the Jews. When you read the book of Acts, in chapter 16, you will find that Paul and Timothy, or Paul and Silas, were in the city of Philippi, and they were persecuted for preaching Jesus to that city, and they were publicly beaten up, and they were put in prison, they were humiliated, and then finally they were allowed to, or they were released. And when they were, before they were released, they had spoken the gospel to the Philippian jailer, and he was saved along with his family. And then they left that city of Philippi and they came to Thessalonica, and in Thessalonica they preached the gospel, and a lot of people, both Jews and Gentiles, responded to the gospel. They believed the gospel, they got born again. But then the Jews who did not want to believe, they began to persecute not only Paul, but also those who believed. And that's the reason I believe it says that the gospel came with great suffering to this city. But one great thing about the Thessalonians is that, as scripture says, they received the gospel with great joy. The church in Thessalonica began to then imitate Paul and his fellow workers, Timothy and Silas. Now, that's a great testimony about any church. And I believe there are great truths that we can learn from this church in Thessalonica and from what the Holy Spirit has inspired Paul to write to them. What he wrote to them was not only just for them, but also for us. And there are great things we can learn from the way the gospel was received and then lived in this city. The Holy Spirit tells us that these people in Thessalonica not only became followers of Paul and Timothy, in other words, they not only copied the lifestyle of Timothy and Paul, but they also became followers or imitators of the Lord himself. And this is an amazing testimony. And I believe this church is unique, and it's very different from any other churches that we find in the New Testament. And remember, when we say church, we mean the group of believers or followers of Jesus along with the leaders. So we are not just talking about the top leaders of the church. We are talking about the entire church here, the entire group of believers, including their leaders. And remember, they were people like us. We received the gospel when it was preached to them in spite of the severe suffering that was at sight, or the suffering or persecutions that came along with the gospel. But Holy Spirit, through Paul, commends this church or followers of Jesus for becoming imitators of the Lord Jesus. Therefore, I believe this is a model church. And this church became famous in the whole country of Greece. They became an example to other churches, like the churches in Corinth or the church in Philippi. Then in verse 8, Paul says another remarkable thing about this church. He said, "Now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it." This is in verse 8. So Paul is saying, everywhere we go, we hear about your faith in God, and we don't need to tell them anything.
When we read about work of faith in verse 3, we may think that this verse is talking about or the miracles and wonders that occurred on a regular basis in the church of the Thessalonians. But I think this work of faith is not about miracles and wonders, although I do believe there have been great miracles and wonders and supernatural activities in this church. I believe this statement about work of faith alludes to something even greater, as we read in verse 9 and 10.
Then in verse 9 and 10, we are told that, or we are told about their faith, love, and hope. The second part of verse 9 says, "And how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God." And verse 10, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." The faith that we read in verse 3, or the work of faith that we read in verse 3, is actually about these people, these pagan who believed in many, many gods, turning to the one true and living God. They believed the gospel and they took a complete turn, a 180-degree turn to Jesus, leaving behind all the gods that they once believed, and removing all the idols from their homes or from the places of worship in their lives. They threw away or destroyed all the idols that they worshipped once, and they also disconnected completely from all the gods that they once believed. And then they took a complete 180-degree turn to Jesus. That means they had Jesus in their front, their focus was Jesus, and everything else they believed once was behind them. They were no longer in front of them. Their eyes, their mind were no longer on those things that they once believed and now forsake. So that was the work of faith that I believe Paul or Holy Spirit was speaking about this church in Thessalonica. Then in verse 3, we read about the labor prompted by love. The believers in Thessalonica not only believed in Jesus, they not only accepted Jesus as their Lord, they not only believed the truth that Jesus died for their sins and paid the full price, but they began to serve him, as we read in verse 9. That means they literally obeyed him in everything. In verse 3, we talked about the labor prompted by love. They began to love Jesus. They, I believe, comprehended to some extent the love of God. They were able to comprehend how much
God, Jesus Christ, loved, and they began to love him back. And that love prompted them to obey him in everything. The word serve here means to be like a slave. That means these believers were like a slave to Jesus. They obeyed him like a slave would obey his master. They obeyed him completely. They followed Jesus in every aspect of their lives. Now, I know and you know that they did not have copies of the New Testament or even the Old Testament. They didn't have personal copies of the Bible as we have them today. What they had with them was the teachings that was brought to them through the apostle, and they began to follow what they were taught, and they thus exhibited their love for Jesus. Remember, Jesus said in the Gospel of John that if you love me, you will obey my commandment. And I would say this church loved God, and it was evident in their actions, and it was evident to all, even the non-believers. They became so famous, not only among the Christian circles, but also among the pagans, that people would often talk about the faith in the Thessalonian church. Their faith and the work produced by that faith and their love for Jesus and the labor prompted by that love did not go unnoticed. Then in verse 10, we are told about their hope, that they were waiting for the Son of God, Lord Jesus Christ, to return from heaven. In verse 3, we read about their patience or endurance inspired by hope. And this is the hope that they had, that one day their Lord, their God, would return from heaven to gather them and to take them home. And about this Lord and Savior, the Bible also tells us in this very verse that he is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. In other words, these believers knew that they were not only saved to be with the Lord in eternity, but they will also be saved because of their faith in Jesus from the final judgment, that they are exempted from the final judgment that the non-believers would go through. And I am amazed by this church in Thessalonica, that they believed Jesus, they took a complete turn to him, that is a work produced by their faith, and then they began to love Jesus, and their love for Jesus prompted them to obey him in everything. And then they had this patience or endurance to go through the persecutions, to suffer everything that came because of their faith in Jesus, because they knew that one day their Lord would come back. And regardless of what happened to them or what happened around them, and regardless of how they were treated by those who did not believe in the gospel, they held on to their faith and they continued to love Jesus by obeying the word of God that was made available to them, and they exhibited great endurance or patience because they were so sure of one thing. Their hope for the return of Christ was so strong that they were willing to endure all the persecutions that they went through. I believe as followers of Jesus, we should emulate this church. We should not only just believe in Jesus, we should believe in Jesus as the only Savior, as the only Lord, and we should turn to him completely. That means in every aspect of our life, he should be our Lord. Our turn to the Lord should be complete in everything that pertains to our life. Then we will love him, or we will begin to love him, and because of that love we have for him, we will begin to obey him in everything. Not only in those areas or not only in those things that are easy for us, but in everything. In other words, we will stop cherry picking. When we read the Bible, we will not skip the difficult verses. We will read every verse and seek grace to practice everything that we are told to do. We will quit not practicing the difficult verses and practicing only the easy ones, but we will start to practice all that we read in the Bible, and we will seek His grace to do that. And as we do this, or as we love Jesus back, the world around us will come to know that we are followers of Jesus. So not only in our local church or the churches in our city or cities, but even among the non-believers, we will become famous because we have turned to the Lord completely and because we love our Lord by obeying His word, and also because we have a strong conviction, because we have a strong hope that our Lord is coming back. And then the non-believers, those who have not heard about Jesus yet, will ask us the reason for the hope we have. They would want to know why we are different. They would want to know why we are willing to suffer and go through persecutions to keep our faith or to obey our God. And then we will be able to tell them why, and we will be able to share the gospel with them. I believe if you and I begin to live like the believers of the church in Thessalonica, our life will become a testimony about who the one true God is. And I believe sharing Jesus or sharing the gospel would become easy for each one of us. God bless you. Have a great day.